Ephesians chapter 1, be reading verses 11 through 14. Ephesians 1, 11 through 14, if you're getting familiar with your Bible, from the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and you'll come to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. If you found Ephesians 1, if you'll please stand with me in honor of reading God's Word this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, I'll read the odd numbers, verses 11 and 13, if you'll join with me on the even verses, verses 12 and 14 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, in whom also you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the reading of Your Word this morning. Thank You for the power that it brings, Lord, to the hearts of men. Lord, I pray that You would bless the special to prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, I pray You would just the Spirit this morning. I pray that we'd be opening our hearts to what we're going to be heard or what's spoken to us. And we'll thank You for it. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Paul and Silas spent the night inside the cold dark jail. Beaten, bruised, and battered, against God they would not rail. In the stocks they prayed to God and gave their every care. And in the darkness of the cell they felt His presence there. God gave a song at midnight when Paul and Silas prayed. They knew that He'd be listening when their faith it had not swayed. God gave the peace and love and joy that only He could bring. And shook the prison open wide when they began to sing at midnight. Paul and Silas got right up and walked on out the jail, proving what a song can do when faith it does not fail. Friend, if life has got you down and you don't know where to turn, here's a song that you might need to listen to and learn. God gives a song at midnight when we begin to pray. We know that He'll be listening when our faith it does not sway. God gives a peace and love and joy that only He can bring, and shakes the prison open wide when we begin to sing. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. God gives a song at midnight when we begin to pray. We know that He'll be listening when our faith it does not sway. God gives a peace and love and joy that only He can bring, and shakes the prison open wide when we begin to sing at midnight, at midnight.
You fellas were singing this morning as a blessing. I think, Dan, that's the one you wrote, right, Dan? Very good. Amen. You know, I've been wondering for years what song Paul and Silas sang at midnight. And now I know, blessed be the name was a song that they sang at midnight. Amen. So that's a blessing. I've been wondering about for a long time, Dan. And that was a good song. Appreciate the good singing, fellas. We're in a series on Sunday morning. We'll be here for a couple more Sundays. Next Sunday, Brother Kidd will be here. Only God knows what he's going to preach on next Sunday. And so we'll have a good time. But then after that, I want to come back with two or three more, possibly, on the subject of a purchased possession. You find that in verse 14, the text that we read with Brother Mike a minute ago, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. So let's pray together. I want to continue on this thought of a purchased possession. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today that we belong to You. And I pray, God, that if there's somebody in this room today who's never been saved, they don't belong to You, I pray, God, that this might be the day that they give their heart to Jesus Christ. Speak to us, oh God, please. Help me as I preach, control my thoughts, my words. And Lord, may you give everything power, and we'll thank you for it. We certainly need to hear from you. We give ourselves to you in Jesus' name. And amen. The last two Sundays, we have learned that as the children of God, we are His purchased possession. Now listen very carefully. We are not born into this world as a child of God. I hear that a lot. You know, I've believed in God all my life. I've belonged to God all my life. But that's not what the Scripture teaches us. The Scripture teaches us that we are not born into this world as His child. We become a child of God the moment we place our faith and trust in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ as payment for our sin. You say, why do you mention the death, burial, and resurrection that way often in services? Because that's the gospel. And the Bible tells us that it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. It's the gospel message that God uses to draw men's hearts to Himself. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And when a person trusts in Jesus Christ as his Savior, her Savior, when they trust in His death, burial, and resurrection as payment for their sin debt, at that instant, they are born into the family of God. They become God's child. They become God's purchased possession. So that's my thought now, this matter of purchased possession. We are the purchased possessions of God, saved, born into His family, through the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, here is what we've already talked about the previous two Sundays. The first we talked about the plan of the purchase. The plan of the purchase. I'm just going to say that. The plan of the purchase. If you're interested in that, get the CD, okay? I don't have time to go back and review. Last Sunday we talked about the price of the purchase. The price of the purchase. You see the price of the purchase in verse number 7 in chapter 1. Look at what it says. In whom we have redemption through His blood. The cost of purchasing you and me from sin was the blood of Jesus Christ, God's own Son. Now, because Jesus is God's Son, now watch this. The blood that flowed in His veins was the blood of God, His Father. Isn't that where a baby gets his blood? His father. You say, well, Joseph was his father. No. No. If Joseph was his father, we better shut down shop this morning and go home because we have no salvation. Because if Joseph was his father, that means Jesus had tainted blood. Sinful blood, like Joseph had. Like his dad had. I have tainted blood. You have tainted blood. The only one who's ever lived on earth without tainted blood outside of Adam, for 3 days, or however long it was, to chapter 3, was Jesus Christ. He had the blood of His Father God in His veins. Supernaturally conceived in the womb of His mother Mary by the Holy Ghost of God. And so what you've got is, watch it now, when you've got Jesus dying on the cross, friend, and wait, this little picture, you know, where He's got a little trickle of blood here, and a little trickle of blood here, and a little, you know, a little drop of blood here. No. You got a body so torn up, so massacred, so abused physically that Isaiah said you couldn't even tell it was a human. Okay? You got a massacred body. And the blood that flowed from His veins, the Bible says that it was the blood of God. Listen to this. Acts 20:28, Paul is talking about the church of God. And he said that the church of God, which God said about the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. So it was the blood of God that flowed through the veins of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus died on that old rugged cross, He shed God's blood. God's blood was shed for our salvation. That's the price. Now, brother, I said last week, listen to me. If you're born again into God's family, you ought to feel very special and very loved by God. You ought to feel very precious to God because it cost the blood of Jesus Christ for God to be able to purchase us. That's how we got saved. Now, the power in the blood, watch it in verse number 7. The power that's in this blood results in the forgiveness of sins. Look at what he said in verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There is nothing sweeter than the forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. And I said last week, people go to great lengths to wash away the feeling of the guilt of their sin. Try to drown it in alcohol, drown it in drugs, drown it in promiscuous living. Watch this. Some try to drown it in religion. But there's only one element that has the power to forgive you of sin. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, man. And that was so real again to me this past Wednesday when I visited with Mike Hagee there for those 2 hours. My mind and emotions went back to that night almost 38 years ago now in October of 1975 when I was so burdened with my sin. I'm talking about a life that was absolutely in chaos. And when I came to trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, forgiveness of sins came. And that only comes about through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we got here, the shed blood, that's the price of the purchase. Now, I just wanted to touch on that. Let's keep moving. Today, we're going to look again at verse number 13. Look at verse number 13. At the very end of the verse, if you have your Bible, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Do you see that? And so I want to talk about the promise of the purchase this morning. The promise of the purchase. There is a promise that accompanies God's purchase. You become God's purchase when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It cost Jesus Christ His blood to make that purchase, okay? And there's a promise involved here. Now watch this. The promise involves the Holy Spirit. And God promised that as soon as we become His purchased possession, He gives us His Holy Spirit to live in us. That's His promise. And our God, I don't have long on this morning, our God is a Trinity. He is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Three manifestations of the same God in three distinct persons. These three are one, the Bible teaches us. You've got the Spirit, and you've got the Son, and you've got the Father. Now watch it. All of them are equal. Some people have the mentality that, you know, you got God the Father here, and you got God the Son here, and you got God the Spirit down here. And it's kind of like number one, number two, number three. No, these three are one, equal across the board. So everything that God is, God the Father is, the Son is. And everything that the Son is, the Spirit is. And when you get saved, when we get saved, we have a promise that as soon as we get saved, we become the possession of God. Now watch it. And He gives us His Spirit to live in us. That's His promise. You can see the whole sequence here in verse number 13. Look at it if you have your Bible. Okay, look at it. Verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted, okay, you got saved. Now watch this. After that ye heard the word of truth. So what's the first part of the sequence? You got to hear the word of truth. Folks, look, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's why on those walls out there, you got about 175, 170 boards. We support about 180, 82 different mission projects here in America and around the world. Listen, because people need to hear the word of truth about the gospel message. You understand that when Ben had this revival meeting in Madagascar recently with Bill Graham, when he announced it to that church over there in Antananarivo, that little group of people, 50-something people, they didn't know what a revival was. They had no idea. A revival? What's a revival? There are, just because we are born into America, you know, we're born in America and we hear the gospel over and over and over again. It's written in books and written in Bibles and it's everywhere. It's on the radio. In some cases it's on television. It's everywhere. But in some parts of the world it's not like that. And that's why we support the missionaries, because people, listen, need to hear the word of truth. By the way, I believe with all of my heart that there's a day, even here in America, as people, when you've heard it and heard it and heard it, but there is a day that you hear it. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't get saved until I was 18. I heard the gospel before that. I heard it. I heard it in Sunday school. I heard it in church. I was a Sunday school boy for a while. I heard it and heard it and heard it. One of those, one, it came to a time where finally I heard it. You need to hear it. Okay? Folks, it can't come in one ear and out the other. You need to listen, absorb. If you don't know that eternal, that heaven is your home, if you don't know that Jesus is your personal Savior, would you just hear this morning the word of truth? That's what the Bible says. Paul said, ye heard the word of truth about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Look at it says, the gospel of your salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the only way to get saved. That's the only way. It's not the baptism of your salvation. It's not the church membership of your salvation. It's not the sacraments of your salvation. It's not the communion of your salvation. It is the gospel of your salvation. It's the gospel. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So you hear, watch it. This is the sequence. A person hears the word of truth about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then the Bible says, also after that, ye believed, you trusted, you believed. Now watch it. I hope you hear it, but just hearing it is not enough. You have to act on what you hear. The Bible talks in Romans chapter 10 about the mouth that we hear and believe, and then we speak and we confess with our mouth, the heart and the mouth. In your heart, you hear the gospel message and you believe that it's true. And with your mouth, you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to become your Savior. You confess, I am a sinner. I cannot get to heaven on my own. And Jesus, I believe that what you did for me on Calvary is sufficient to take me to heaven. And you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I walked up here this morning, I sat down in this chair. I trusted in this chair to hold me up. And on October of 1975, basically, I sat down in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, trusted in that as sufficient payment for my sin debt. You get the sequence here? You got to hear. And then once you hear, you got to believe. You got to trust. And then look at what he says at the end of the verse. So you hear, you believe. When you believe, you're saved. And then you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So here's the sequence. You hear, you believe, and you are given the Holy Spirit of God. He takes up residence in your body. Now, that night, as a boy, I went 18-year-old boy, I went forward. Somebody showed me from the Bible the verses that talk about salvation. There are specific verses in this Bible that deal with how to be saved. And I went forward. I heard how to be saved. And my heart said, yes, I want to be saved. And I embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And according to what the Bible teaches, at that moment, God gave me the gift of His Spirit to live in my body. That's the promise of the purchase. He gives the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Now, folks, please hear me for a minute this morning. I am certainly not trying to be rude or ugly, but I want to be specific. If you, the Bible says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, you are none of His. This is why this is so vital. Okay? Listen, in my ministry, the line of ministry of being a pastor and talking to people at the front door, in the porch of a front door, or on a couch, sitting on a couch in the living room, sitting at the kitchen table, sometimes talking to people on the phone, you hear all kinds of things. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? I was baptized. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? I was a good person. I'm a good person. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. I've been a church member, going to church all my life. Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? Well, I pray to God and ongoing all the time. And are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. How do you know you're saved? My parents were Christians and brought me up with a... It's on and on and on. But there's only one way to get saved. And if you don't have the Spirit of God living in you, the Bible makes it clear you're not one of His. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be truthful with you. Look, don't you want somebody to tell you the truth? Okay? You know, Paul did this in his ministry, and he wrote the Galatian people. He said, man, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I could make you like me, like we're here in some places now. Salvation is whatever you want it to be. Salvation is whatever you were taught it was. Were you taught that it was through Buddha? Then it's through Buddha. Were you taught that it was through baptism? Then it's through baptism. Where is the Bible basis for that? I'm just trying to be honest with you, folks. Now look, I prayed a prayer when I was 5 or 6 years of age, but I didn't get saved. I'm not trying to make you doubt. Brother, you look, preaching like this, only if you're saved, preaching like this, inside the Spirit of God gives you witness. You're saved. I hope you're here this morning. I hope you're listening this morning, because I'm not your enemy. I am your friend telling you that this is a serious matter. You know, this God takes this very seriously. And when we get saved, He gives us the person of the Holy Spirit to live in us. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe somebody could move into your house, your physical house? Remember Brother Caleb was here? He used to talk about the Brown family. You know, Brother Caleb, I think they had 7 kids in their family. I think it was Mr. and Ms. Hansen and 7 kids, or 6 kids, I forget how many. And then the Brown family came to their church up there in Minnesota, and they needed a place to live, and the Hansons let the Brown family move in their house, and the Browns had like 5 kids. And Caleb said, He said, you know, folks, we knew somebody was in our house. 7 people. Let me ask you, do you think that somebody could literally move into your physical house and you not know it? Now, the Bible says the Holy Spirit moves into, and wait, you say, what did you feel? I felt nothing. But after being saved, I had a different witness on the inside than I had before. Listen, I had a different witness on the inside. I had a different witness. Now, you think on that for a minute. The Spirit of the living God lives in us if we're saved. That Spirit was involved in creation. That Spirit was involved in giving us the Bible. The all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present Spirit of the living God lives in my body, in your body if you're saved. Now, I'm going somewhere. Think of that this morning. Stay with me. Think of the moral character of the Spirit. Is He not called the Holy Spirit? And holy, not so much a part of His name as it is an adjective describing His attributes. A Holy Spirit. He's called the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. I'm just being honest. Just ask you, what kind of moral character do you reckon the Holy Spirit possesses? You reckon it's holy? You reckon it's pure? You reckon it's godly? You reckon it's clean? You reckon it's right? Holy in motive, holy in action, holy in thought, holy. Now stop right there. Keep that thought with you. Just keep it right here, okay? So He's holy. So this, the moral character of the Holy Spirit, He lives in us, we're saved. Now He lives in us. The moral character of that Holy Spirit. Then you add to that, think of the powerful nature of the Spirit. The Spirit is omnipotent. He's all powerful. That means He's more powerful than Satan. He's more powerful than the devil. That means He's more powerful than my flesh and your flesh. Your flesh, your flesh. He is all powerful. See, Satan is powerful. You say you're dissing Satan? No, no, no. Satan is a powerful being. But he's not all powerful. Only God is all powerful. And because the Holy Spirit is God, He is all powerful. We call that omnipotent. He is mighty, He's strong, He's dynamic, He's powerful. Now folks, you take the two. Take the moral character of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and take the powerful nature of the Holy Spirit and put them together in one person. That person is living inside of our bodies. God's Spirit, who lives in us, has the power, watch this, to develop His moral character in our lives. That's what He wants to do. He wants to develop in my life and in your life His moral character. This is how, God help me to be clear this morning, this is how a lying, cheating, dishonest, unfaithful, swearing, cussing, stealing, man, drug-using man or woman can become a model of moral character. God's Spirit has the power to change that nature. That's how it happens. It's not 12 steps. Not 13 resolutions. And I'm just telling you, friend, look. There is no excuse for you and me to continue to live in bondage to the power of sin after we get saved. Sin will always have some measure of success in our lives until we go to heaven and that's left behind. But that measure of success should be a lot smaller. Hey, friend, listen. Before a person gets saved, sin rules and reigns in the life. You know what the Bible says in Romans 6? Before you get saved, we are called the servants of sin. Now, I get tickled sometimes at macho guys' attitudes. I'm nobody's servant. I'm my own. I do my own thing. I'm my own boss. I live my own life. Not according to the Bible. You're either servant of sin or the servant of Christ. We're the servants of sin. And we live in bondage to that sin. But watch it. After salvation, we are no longer the servants of sin. We become the servants of God. We have a new monarch. We have a new king. We have a new ruler. His name is God. And He rules and lives in us in the power and nature of His Spirit. Oh, sin still rats around us. But the power that sin had over us has been neutralized by the power of God's Spirit. It's been squashed. It's been crushed. I'm simply saying, listen, you say, Pastor, you say you didn't feel any electricity when you got saved. No. You know, the Spirit didn't move in and you go, yee. Listen, I get saved. 2 months later, I go home and I try and foolishly did some of the same things that I used to do before I got saved. That story I'm not going to repeat this morning because you've heard it ad nauseum. But I ended up in the wrong place, my fault, with the wrong people, my fault. And got into some of the old stuff. And I am, watch it now, I am doing stuff that for 5 years, 6 years of my life, I thoroughly enjoyed. But now, what is wrong? Something. Scratch that last statement. Someone. On the inside is saying to me, no, this is not good. This is not right. This doesn't please God. This is not holy. Y'all with me this morning? This is not holy. This is not right. This is not good. This is not pure. This is not clean. Watch me. All of a sudden, things that I thoroughly enjoyed for 5 or 6 years were distasteful. And I hadn't been through 13 steps. Somebody moved in. It's called the Holy Ghost. Called the Holy Spirit. God said, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you are none of His. You don't belong to Him. Is there a witness on the inside that says, whoa, no, this is not good. No. Is there? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a witness. I'm talking about the Spirit of God moves in us, lives in us. He has this moral character, this powerful nature. He's the new authority in our life. He moves in our body. And friend, He tries to mold us and change us to live according to God's holy nature. And God, you say, well, will He be completely successful? One of these days He will. And that's where I'm going with the end of this series on purchased possession. Until I see God, until I see the Lord Jesus and am made like Him, I'm going to have a sin nature and sin's going to rat around once in a while and get the best of me. You say, Pastor Angel, sin get the best of you? I'm married. What does that mean? We have conflict. Married? Conflict? Disagreements? You? No, it's her. It's not me. It's her. Amen? What are you talking about? Sure. Yeah, and sin rats around and gets the best of me. And I'm impatient. And I say dumb things. And I think to myself, oh, And but friends, look, I'm sorry, friend. I don't mean to offend you. I know everybody in this room, but look, I used to run through a good old rock and roll record. I used to have crates of rock and roll albums. Crates. I could put those on one after the other and just listen and listen. And boy, just, I could not listen to that now and enjoy it. Because something on someone on the inside says, that doesn't glorify God. Amen? This is what I'm talking about this morning. Now, we'll tell you, the promise of the purchase is this. If you will, confess that you're a sinner and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God gives you the gift of His Spirit to live in you. So, boy, I don't know if I even want that after hearing you talk about it. Oh, friend, wait a minute. Of course you want that. Because look at verse number 13 one more time. Look at a little word in this verse at the very end. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, when we became the purchased possession of God, God promised to give us His Spirit and the Spirit to live in us. Now, watch this. When the Holy Spirit moved in us, He sealed us. That means two things. Maybe more than two, but I only have time for two. He sealed us. First of all, that means that He marked us. Now watch me. In ancient days, including the time that the New Testament was written, it was customary for people to mark their possessions with a seal. A mark. Today, if you take air transportation and you check a bag, you arrive at your destination, you get off the plane, you go to baggage claim, and here they got these, you know, and you wait, some cases, 30, 40, 45 minutes for bags, and you're fuming, you know, and everybody's standing around, and here they come, and friend, you know, bags look all the same. So you know what people do? You know what people do nowadays. They mark them. They tie red ribbon or green ribbon or dogs that bark or something, they do something, they tie all this stuff to the bag. And, you know, and as soon as that bag comes out, now watch it, it looks like all the other bags, but they know it's theirs because it's marked. It's marked. Say, what do you mark yours with? Nothing. Everybody else's is marked. Mine's not. All right, so that's fine. I know. That's mine. Certainly don't tie a pink ribbon on it. No, sir. But anyway. It's marked. Now, in ancient times, they didn't use ribbon. In ancient times, watch this, they would melt wax. They take a document, they take a piece of paper, and they take a document, they would fold it, you know, and then they would seal it. They'd take some melted wax and put the little drop of melted wax right there at the fold, and then they'd take a thing and they'd seal it. They'd put their imprint of their ring or their signet in there. It was marked. Sealed. Whatever they belong, whatever it belongs, they might engrave it in something hard. But the purpose was identification of possession. Belongs to me. Now God knows who belongs to Him. You see, there are over 7 billion people on planet Earth right now. Watch this. And God knows every one of those because He's marked them. How does He mark them? He gives them His Spirit. So that Spirit marks them. There's a child of God. There's a child of God. He's not a child of God. She is. She isn't. He is. She is. He's not. He's not. He's not. They're marked. They're marked. Hey. When Paul wrote Timothy, he said, there had been some people, now listen to this, you got to hear this, I love this. There had been some people, some preachers going around preaching that the resurrection had already taken place. Already had the resurrection. So saved people are listening to this preaching that the resurrection has already happened. And they're going, whoa here, wait. The resurrection's happened and I'm here? And Paul said, these people who are teaching and preaching that the resurrection has already happened are causing people to err. They say, well, you know what? I must not have been saved. I guess I didn't belong to God, so I'm just going to go out and live like I want to now. And God, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, he said, some of those folks are preaching that the resurrection is past already. They are causing people to err. He said, listen, brother, the Lord knows who are His. The Lord knows who belongs to Him because He's sealed them. He's marked them. And friend, if you are a born-again child of God, you have the Spirit of God living in your body, you're marked. You're sealed. And it's the Holy Spirit of God that marks us and identifies us. But now, wait a minute. Not only has God marked us by sealing us with His Spirit, but number two, He has preserved us. Oh, man. Not only did He give the gift of the Spirit of God to mark us, but He gave the Spirit of God to preserve. Now, watch. Preserve what? Okay, when I got saved, when you got saved, God put the gift of eternal life in me. I've got eternal life living in my body. I'm going to live forever and ever and ever and ever in that wonderful place called heaven. And that was given to me. Eternal life was given to me. Salvation was given to me. It was put in me. A new creature. Listen, we were made a new creature in Christ Jesus. God put that in us when we got saved. Behold, I forgot the verse. What's that verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17? Anyway, we're going here. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So God made us a new creature. God put salvation inside of us. God put the gift of eternal life inside of us. It's in us. And somebody says, yeah, I know, but I'm worried I'm going to lose it. I'm afraid it's going to leave. No. You say, when will it leave? It won't leave. It can't leave. It's sealed inside of you. Salvation, eternal life, the new nature is sealed inside of us because God gave us the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit not only identifies us as a child of God, but the Holy Spirit seals in us salvation, seals in us that new creature, seals in us eternal life. It's there. It's not going to... Look, I left my jar in my office. I had the girls bring me a jar of jelly this morning. I left it in the office. It's sitting back there on the desk. They made it this fall. It's a jar of raspberry jelly or raspberry jar. And you folks understand this. You know this. Now watch. Listen to me. I know we're almost done. The jar goes in the bath of water, and the jelly is in there, and it's got the lid on it. And they, you know, they've made the jelly and they put it in there and they cook it for so long. Then they take it out of the heat, they dry it off, and they put it on the countertop. And what do they wait for? My wife can be in the family room. And in the kitchen, she'll hear, oh, another one. There's another one. And she's running the figure out. That's number six. There's two more. And what is that? It's sealed. Hey, you better eat that jelly quick because it may spoil next week. You better eat it quick because it may spoil next month. And put the jelly on the shelf in the basement and leave it there for a year, two, three, 4 years. And go down one day, man, raspberry jelly. Pull it off the shelf. And it's as good as the day she put it in the jar because it was sealed. Say, how long am I going to have my salvation? As long as the Spirit of God lives in you. When's He leaving? He's not leaving, friend. When you got saved, He moved in. It was God's promise. His moral character, His powerful nature is going to work to bring our lives into line with His holiness. And we won't enjoy the things we used to enjoy. We'll have a better life to enjoy. Eternal life, salvation in us, new nature in us, because the Holy Spirit was given to us. He seals us. He marks us. Oh, listen, the greatest thing in all the world is the greatest day in your life is when you become a child of God. If you're not saved this morning, I don't know how you could put it off any longer. Wow. Wow. God is knocking on the door of your heart saying, you know what? You've been trusting in the baptistry and religion. You've been trusting in good works. You've been trusting in your Christian parents. You've been trusting in this or that. But the folks, salvation comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you get saved, God's Spirit moves in. There's a new witness. A new nature. New life. Eternal life. Salvation sealed in us, marked in us. And that's the promise. Every time God makes a purchase, that's His promise. Every time. Thank you for listening. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's have prayer together before we get ready to give the invitation. If you'll just give me your attention with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I wonder this morning, are you saved? Boy, that's a powerful question to ponder. Powerful question to ponder. Are you saved? Are you born into God's family? Have you become the purchased possession of God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Does the Holy Spirit live in your life? Do you have that witness, that person inside? Wonder who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. All I ask you to do is be honest with God. If that's your testimony this morning, be honest before God. I'm saved and I know it. Could you raise your hand, please, for us this morning? And just be honest. I'm saved and I know it. Thank you. You may take your hands down. You may take your hand. Appreciate your honesty. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that couldn't raise a hand just a moment ago. A lot of hands went up, but I can't see everybody. Maybe there's somebody here this morning who would say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand a moment ago because I do not know that I'm saved. You asked me to be honest, and I was. I do not know. I'm on my way to heaven when I die. Now, the other folks raised their hands because they said they did know. I'm going to raise my hand and say, no, I don't know. I do not know that. Would you slip your hand up, please, if you don't know for sure that you're on your way to this? Just slip it up. I'm not going to come get you. I'm going to pray for you. That's what I'm going to do. Just pray God speaks to your heart. Anybody like that here today? I'm not saved. Or I don't know that I'm saved. Anybody like that today? All right, side to side, front to back, anybody? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Who's here this morning will say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I have not been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. I know we have some to get baptized. So while we wait this morning, come ahead. We'll get ready to be baptized this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Maybe you ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism today. Come right now. We're set up ready to go for that while we wait. The purchased possession of God. Oh, friend, do you belong to Him? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Listen, I'm not trying to get you to become a Baptist. I'm not trying to get you to become a church member. That's not my intention. My only purpose in preaching this morning was because I want to honor and glorify the Lord. And God gave His Son, Jesus, to die so that we could be saved. Oh, my goodness, friend. What a great day it is when you give your heart to Christ and trust Him for salvation and are saved. If you're not saved, I would invite you to come. Find one of these men standing at the front and just say, I need to be saved, or I don't know that I'm saved. They'll find somebody that can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven when you die. Become the purchased possession of God and have the sweet Holy Spirit living inside of you. What a blessed thing. Maybe you're here this morning, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, and you've been resisting the changes He wants to make in your life. When He speaks no, you turn a deaf ear. Maybe you need to yield to Him and listen and submit this morning to the Holy Spirit as He tries to help you develop the moral character that's holy and pure and clean. If that's you this morning, find an altar. Let the Spirit of God work on your heart and talk to Him this morning. Submit yourself to Him. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to preach your word. Speak to hearts now, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. If you're not saved or you're not sure that you're saved, now's a good time to step out and come. Would you do that? Would you just slip out down the aisle? Somebody let you out. Tell one of these men, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Maybe the Spirit of God has been working on you about something specific in your life lately. Do you need to come and let Him deal with you this morning? I encourage you, friend. Maybe just say to the person next to you, you know, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you go with me and I'll let you to the front. We'll talk to somebody. They'll bring you. Would you come while we wait?